This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's great to be back, despite the March weather. And by this time tomorrow, voting will be over in the PC leadership race, at least if the party brass don't change their minds about an extension, another extension of the voting period. Doug Ford is doubling down on his demands for just that, saying that some of the people running the party are incompetent, that there are still problems despite the interim leader's assurances that all is well and everything has been fixed. And now I'm seeing some news about yet another problem with the voting, and the allegation is that some members were able to get their registration numbers by email while everyone else had to wait to get it by snail mail or by courier. So that's another thing to delve into. We will be talking to Doug Ford shortly. There's also the matter of what appears to be a feud between him and Christine Elliott, who are both the front runners. Are they just going to make nice when the winner is announced, or is this the beginning of some kind of big split? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-744-740. And right now, let us go to Jenny Byrne, political advisor for the Conservative Party of Canada and political consultant and president of Bradgate Research Group, John Mikitishyn. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay. So, Jenny, let's start with you. Is all this toing and froing over the voting process going to amount to anything, in your opinion?
I don't think so. Has this process been flawless? Far from it. It was organized in a very short period of time. But there's coming into the home stretch. There are always these concerns and issues brought up by campaigns. 45,000 people have already voted, which is more than what has ever voted in a leadership race in the party's history, which I think is great. There was only 37,000 people that voted in the 2015 leadership race, for example. So all the candidates have been meeting from, or campaigns have been meeting from what I've been told, on a daily basis, which is unusual as well, for the last couple weeks. So I think that come Saturday afternoon, we'll have a leader.
Okay, John, what's your take on this?
I agree with Jenny. I think this is much ado about nothing. It's really just, when you get this close to the end and you know you've got some people who haven't voted yet and they're trying to, you get very frustrated as a candidate, and that's all we're hearing, really.
Is this a matter of Doug Ford? I mean, I will ask him in a few short minutes if he's going to accept the result. Is he just blowing smoke because he's not quite the front runner at the moment?
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll hear when he's on shortly. I think that emotions run high, as John knows as well, and in leadership campaigns, all of them that I've ever been part of or watched from the sidelines at this point. And I think that at the end of the day, Doug has said that he's going to run regardless of who's going to be the leader, and I expect that will be the case.
And John, what about this? What seems to be late breaking that some VIP types in the party, former MPPs, people like that, were able to get their codes by email rather than having to wait for them. Is that a big deal?
No, it was a test done early in the process to test the process. It was nothing unusual. It was done at the very outset. And it's something that they looked at for doing for everyone, and the cost would have been prohibitive from what I've been told.
Ah, okay. Well, that's an explanation, I guess. Moving right along, I have to say that I was surprised when I saw Doug Ford go after Christine Elliott in the debate. Is this just, you know, the back and forth of a fairly close leadership race, or is this kind of the harbinger of some kind of split in the party, Jenny?
I don't think it's a split. I think that leadership races are usually they're so much more personal than a general election because it's family, so to speak. I think that you know, criticism of candidates is fair. It's natural in a leadership race. So I think that at the end of the day, come Saturday evening, I think all candidates will put aside the last month and we'll all be on stage together.
John?
I think Jenny's absolutely right. Look, if anything in this leadership race, people have been amazed that Doug Ford has been calm and collected, and they're used to seeing much more the outrageous guy that he's been in the past. And it says a lot about his personal political development. And all he's been doing, I think, like all the candidates, has been trying to differentiate themselves from each other and make it clear for people that there's a choice who to vote for. And that's nothing really different than you would expect anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see there definitely seems to be different camps, you know, on ideological divides, you know, one what we would call a red Tory and the other socially conservative. So how do those come together, and how do you see kind of the breakdown in terms of which side is bigger?
Well, I think you're pointing to, in part, what led to Patrick's problems is that he told a significant portion of the party, the social conservatives, that he didn't really need them or want them. And their views, you know, didn't matter to him. I think in this leadership race, the four candidates have been reaching out to anyone and everyone, saying that the right place for anyone who describes themselves as any type of conservative belongs in the Ontario PC Party. And I think that's what we're going to have going into the election.
Jenny?
Yeah, I think the Conservative Party is strongest when different ideologies or the priorities of different conservatives, we all work together. Stephen Harper was very successful, you know, fiscal conservatives, Democratic reformers, the social conservatives all had a place. Mike Harris was very successful at that, too. And when conservatives leaders do that successfully, we do well as a party. So I think that we'll see how the breakdown goes down in terms of the votes. But the one thing that's, you know, we can point to, for example, is the carbon tax. All four candidates standing on stage have said that they do not support a carbon tax, which is a definite contrast to going after Kathleen Wynne in the next election.
Well, yeah, except that none of those four candidates have said exactly how they're going to make up that $4 billion, except, of course, we're going to find efficiencies and savings, which, you know, is a little bit on the vague side.
Well, and they're going to have to come up with that. Whoever is elected leader is going to have to get a team in place as quickly as possible, and releasing their platform, including a full-costed analysis with that platform is going to be expected.
Well, exactly. I don't think that's good enough for voters.
No, they'll have to show where they plan on getting their savings that was costed for in the former platform.
And if we could be fair to the premier here for a moment, the reality is her government has wasted billions and billions of dollars so that if we just stopped that foolishness, there would be ample money available to fund the platform.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody says. But until you get in and look at those books, you know, that's it's a little vague.
Anyway. Agreed.
Yeah,
yep.
Let's get to the phones because people are lining up. We've got Joyce in Scarborough. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Libby. Okay, I've always been a Ford supporter. I don't think Elliott has the cojones to be a match win. And now with the Ontario deficit that was supposed to be balanced. But anyway, back to Elliott and Ford. I don't think Elliot's up to it, but for your guests to say that everything's hunky-dory about the voting process, I don't agree. Anyway, thank you very much.
Okay. We have another call on the voting process from Tony in Niagara. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Okay, I had problems from day one. One morning, about 2.5 weeks ago or so, I should have marked it all down, but I didn't. I got an email from the Ford office for a membership, for the $10 membership.
Mm-hmm.
See, I already have my membership card for the federal, but so make a long story short, I went through it all, and I said, okay, I need a credit card, so I said, I'll get back at it later. So in the afternoon, I went in my car, got my credit card, came back here, and guess what? I got on, and then all of a sudden, bingo, it was like a virus just shut me off completely. So I said, what the hell is going on here? So I went on the website for like Ford for leadership, whatever, or a phone number or whatever, and everything was not on Google at whatsoever. So I called up Ottawa, and I asked them to give me a number or something so I can get a hold of their office. And he said to me himself, we have nothing on here. It's like everything's been blanked off. So make a long story short, I went to Niagara Falls to shoot some pool with my buddies, and I talked to some, and they had the same problems. Okay.
And did you try again another day? Because
I tried 2-3 days after. But I was going to Toronto, so what I did was this, right? Like, he's a hard kind of guy to get a hold of, because it's like hush-hush everything. Something's wrong here.
Okay, just can you shorten the story a little bit? Were you able to get in and get your membership and vote?
No, nothing. So I went to Toronto, and I went to that body shop where his brother's photo's on the 400, and I went to speak to those guys because I said they must know about him, and they took my number down and address and everything else, and no one got a hold of me. So make a long story short, I can't vote.
Well, you have until tonight to register.
Yeah, but I have no membership, like the $10 membership thing. Oh. I don't have anything.
Well,
that's too late.
I'll let them respond, but I know that both the Ford and the Elliott camps were advertising phone numbers and places to go if you had difficulty. But, Tony, I'm going to let you go, and
thank
I'm going to let Jenny and John respond.
Well, the campaign, the former campaign manager and me, I can say that if I was Doug Ford's people, I would not be happy hearing that story, because that's one less vote that you've got. Assuming that I'm assuming that that's who he would have supported. I can't speak in terms of not finding a website. I've gone on the website for all of the candidates to check it out over the course of the leadership race, and I didn't have any problems.
Well,
finding,
yeah, and I'm not sure why you would find a body shop on the R400 trying to get sorted out. No offense, Tony. Just I'm not sure that you looked for help in the right places. Okay, let's take another call from Keith in Stouffville.
Oh, hi, Libby.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people that are on there, I'd like to ask that one guy, what did Doug Ford say that was so outrageous to him? Because he talked about Doug Ford saying something outrageous.
No, I don't think he said, Doug Ford, you're having trouble voting as well?
Yes, for sure. I'm going to tell you what happened.
I just need to wrap it up because Doug is waiting, and we want to get his
talk. I'd like to hear this. My wife went online and signed us up. I wasn't at home. I was working, and she put my name in and put money in and got her and for hers also. Now, she got her thing in the mail, but not that number that you're supposed to have so you can vote. She got that in the mail 2 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting to get mine. And this person that was on the line, this is what my wife told me, asked, who will you be voting for? And she said, Christine Elliott. And what about your husband? He's voting for Doug Ford. Well, I don't have mine. There would be no one there that might say, oh, I'll lose this one. What is going on? There is something going on, and I don't think Doug Ford is there's something wrong with him, because it's right.
That's a pretty serious charge.
Yeah, it is a serious charge, and I'm telling you, that's happened right now. I'm going to go to the mail here in Stouffville and see if anything's in there. It won't be in there in time anyways, because I won't have that number, that I can vote for Doug Ford.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking to him in a minute, so I'm going to let you go.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Libby.
Thanks, and thank you. We'll see about that. And, John, we have to say goodbye to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure as always.
Okay. And we are waiting to get Doug on a better line. And let's go to Cecil in Mitchell. Hi, Cecil.
Hi. I'm one of these guys that I went today to get my PIN, and it still hasn't come, and that'd be the second time they sent it.
Uh-huh.
They sent it about last Friday, so I want a phone number to get a hold of somebody. And I even was on Doug's Ford's website and put a name, my name in yesterday that I didn't get my PIN yet.
Uh-huh.
And I'd renewed my subscription with a membership, with a three-year membership, and I haven't heard nothing. And even the people up here that I know, because our fellow up here took a bunch of names down last Friday, and there's still a few that haven't got their PINs. They wouldn't let them bring the PINs up here.
Remind me again when you signed up. What day?
I signed up in February 8th. When I renewed my membership.
Okay. I think we have Doug Ford on the line now. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Libby. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I don't know if you've been... Hello?
Yeah, I'm still there, Libby.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know if you've been listening, but I've been hearing from some callers who are still having trouble signing up. They say they've signed up and haven't gotten a PIN yet. One of the guys couldn't figure out how to sign up. What's your take on this?
I'll tell the listeners where we're at. It's scandalous as far as I'm concerned. They have less than 25% of the people who voted. 75% have not voted. There's 195,000 members, 155,000 people. I've not been able to vote. My own mother can't vote for me. She hasn't received the email yet. I've never, ever, ever seen anything like it. It's a total incompetence on LEOC, which is a committee formed by the executive of the PC party, and they've dropped the ball. They've taken away the democratic right of 155,000 people, and they just don't care. And what bothers me the most, Libby, is we have three candidates all saying... Tanya, Caroline, myself, all saying you got to extend it. None of us know if it's going to benefit us or not. But we're just saying we'd rather win or lose based on letting everyone vote, able to vote. Then we have Christine saying, no, I don't care about the democratic process. I don't care about 75% of the membership. I don't care if it's only 20-some-odd percent that have voted. We're just going to move forward with it. I've never seen anything like it ever in 30 years of being in politics.
Well, they say that more people have voted than ever before, 40,000.
But that's irrelevant.
Pardon?
That is totally irrelevant.
Okay.
When there's 200,000 members and only 40,000 people have voted, that's less than 20%. These are motivated voters. A traditional election, just an average election, 60%. So when you have motivated people that paid $10, they're committed, they're excited to vote, and all of a sudden their democratic rights are being taken off them because of the party's incompetence, that's the reason I say we got to get rid of the insiders, got to get rid of the political establishment, political elites, because they're all surrounding the candidate that they want to win, including some of the executive. So something's wrong, something's broken in our party, and that's why we have to get elected and make sure we clean house.
Assuming that the vote goes ahead as planned, the announcement goes ahead on Saturday, are you going to accept the result?
Well, let's see what happens on Saturday. Let's see how many people get registered, see how many people are going to vote.
Are you saying that you're
too many?
That you're not necessarily going to accept the result?
Well, I want to see how many people are allowed to vote, and we'll make that decision then. And, it's frustrating when your own party is suppressing the vote against the people that actually paid the $10 to pay for this broken system that I hear is over $1 million.
So what will you do if you decide not to accept the vote, Doug?
I'm sorry?
What will you do if you decide that the result isn't the right result? What do you plan to do about it?
Well, if the right results, I'll be very clear. Win or lose, I'm not going to be happy about the system that they put in place. We've got to show these people the door and get proper people in there that can actually run the executive. Because this executive has been an absolute disaster, and we have to show them the door. Win or lose, I got to go on record here. I don't flip-flop like the other candidate. Win or lose, I think we need a complete review. We have to see where the system failed, and I believe I know where the system failed. They were disingenuous with us by saying everything was mailed out on the 23rd. They weren't truthful whatsoever. Found out later it was on the 28th. Why did they go to a voting system that tens of thousands of seniors don't have computers? They can't vote. It's a difficult system, even if you do have a computer, to try to figure out the system. Why we couldn't go for 124 riding associations. They all have associations. They all have presidents. We could have easily set this up in a day, got a paper ballot, saved $1 million, and it would have been transparent. But right now, it's anything but transparent.
Moving along, you seem to be, you've been pretty harsh in your criticism of Christine Elliott, who somebody who you say is a friend. Is this a big rift, or are you going to make nice on Saturday after you see who is the winner, assuming it's likely to be one of the two of you, or is this a big rift?
Christine and I, we've talked about this. This is not personal. This is about showing the difference. We have one shot at this, Libby. We failed 15 years in a row. We have one shot to save this province. We can replace Kathleen Wynne. We all know Kathleen Wynne's on our way out. The question is, are we going to replace Kathleen Wynne and the Liberals with another Liberal like Christine, just under another banner? Or do they want a fiscal conservative like myself who's going to save them money, put money in their pockets, hold the political elites, the political establishment, all the insiders and the cronyism that's surrounding the other campaigns, the same insiders have been running this party for 30 years, or do you want the grassroots people to run this party?
Doug, there was a poll out today which shows that in a general election, your party would have a better chance with the moderates, Christine or Caroline, as opposed to you. What's your reaction to that?
That's just absolute, furthest thing from the truth. It's actually contrary to that, because I'm the only one that is able to win 10 seats in Toronto. The GTA in Toronto, we haven't won, and I can't even remember the last time we won seats in Toronto. I think it was Mike Harris was the last, outside of Raymond Cho, that we helped. But I attract NDP voters, Liberal voters, and the NDP know that.
Is the poll just wrong?
I have Liberal friends that are terrified if I run.
Is the poll just wrong?
I don't believe in polls. I don't believe in polls, and they're biased. They're attached to a campaign. Every pollster is attached to someone's campaign. And I don't make deals. I've been crisscrossing the province, Libby, talking to MPPs and candidates. And if Christine wins, she's going to have a cabinet of 70 people. I don't do the backroom deals like they do. The only deal I make is with the taxpayers. I respect the taxpayers, and every single person, every MPP and candidate knows Doug Ford does not make deals. Unfortunately,
if Christine wins, Elliott makes deals. If Christine wins, after all the things that you both have been saying to each other, do you think you'd be in her cabinet if she wins?
I'm not worried about that. I'm not there to serve it just as a cabinet minister. I know I have more popularity with the common people than all of them combined. Well, anywhere I go, the place is packed. No matter what town I go to, we have a full house. And people have come up to me and said, we've had ministers, we have premiers, but no one's packed the room with more of a diverse crowd than you have, Doug. People have said I've been a lifelong Liberal member, lifelong NDP member. I've never been a member before. I'm joining because of you, not because of the PC party. That's the difference. I attract a wide range of voters and the grassroots people I represent.
Okay.
He represents the insiders and the political establishment and all the cronyism.
Doug, we've got to wrap things up, but what I'm taking away from this is that basically you've said you are not necessarily going to accept the result on Saturday, assuming it is on Saturday, as a legitimate result.
Let's see how many people get registered. Let's see how many people vote. And it's very disheartening to the 155,000 people that haven't been able to vote. And there's people who've been members for years. My mother's been a member for 50 years, and her rights have been taken away. So this is concerning to democracy, and it's scandalous as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, Doug Ford, we'll be talking to you again soon. I'll see you, on Saturday if the Saturday thing is not moved. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Libby.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, callers, sorry I didn't get to more calls. I wanted to clarify things with Doug Ford. Remember, Free for All Friday is coming up tomorrow, and I just have a hunch that this is going to be the hot topic of the day. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking to our trusted contributors from the Ontario Pharmacists Association. So your pharmaceutical and medical questions... get by the phone. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.